Husbands, I tell you, we're supposed to be Christ in the home. And that's quite a role to emulate. And in verse 23b, it says, and he is the savior of the body. First of all, Christ is Lord over all on behalf of his church. Second of all, in verse 23b, Christ gave his life for the church's victory. He didn't die so you can hang a cross around your neck. He gave his life for the church's victory. And I want to ask you something. Have you given your life for your home's victory? Or are you moaning and complaining, grappling with the emotions of a Alsatian on heat next to a fire hydrant? Excuse me putting it that way. It says Christ gave his life for the church's victory. He's the savior of the body. Are you the savior of your home? Are you the savior of your home? Or are you damning it? Maybe I should throw this out. When your home looks to you, do they look to you as a savior? Do they look to you as their savior? Is the testimony of the home, my husband is the savior of my home? Or like poor Abigail, is your wife running around like a crazy woman, covering your stupidity here, your ignorance there, your hate over here, your laziness over here, your fear over there? And I'm not going to do that anymore because that's ugly to say, and I don't want to say that on this lovely Father's Day. But the fact of the matter is, Christ gave his life for the church's victory, and most folks will be damned before they give their lives for their homes. You're supposed to give your life for your home. And it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that your wife's supposed to give her life for the home. For all God is concerned, and I'm not saying this is so, she might not even be capable of it. I don't know. He doesn't say it. Do you know of a verse where the Bible says to wives, give your life for the home? Well, I have a wonderful wife. I'm not knocking that. I'm trying to emphasize who he spoke to when he had a chance to say anything he wanted to. Right. He said to the husband, you're the savior of that home. Like I'm the savior of the church. You know, we're not supposed to go to society and ask them how to be a husband or to be a wife or to be children, how to build homes. They don't have a clue. They are constantly being confused mm-hmm. by voices, many voices. I think it sums it up so beautifully. Christ is the savior of the church. Don't we know it? And I'm the savior of my home. I know it too. Well, that's going to lead us on to a third, fourth, and fifth point that is very strong. It says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And in verse 25, I see this. He is one with the church through love. You see, dying love binds you. He is one with his home through love. Just as Christ is one with the church through love. You just read the scriptures and see how one he is with us, and that the whole purpose of it all is oneness through love. Not oneness through looks or clothing or jewelry or whatever, but oneness through love. And he is one with the church through love. And are you one with your home through love? That is to say, are you and your family of a common love? Because you bring it to us. Who brought love to the church? You and me? We didn't. We came from the world of unlove. Does it say here, wives bring love to the church, or to the home, or children bring love to the home? Matter of fact, the one scripture on love and woman, it says, teach them how to love. It doesn't say teach you husbands how to love. It says you just do what Jesus did. And he became one. There is a call for a oneness of love. A oneness of love isn't give them everything they want, isn't stroke them on the head, isn't tell them all day they're marvelous. Oneness of love is the getting together of a soul. tight, is how they like to put it these days. They're tight. We're tight with Christ in our church. That love has made us tight. It's drawn all of us together. I mean, we have relationships with one another that wouldn't even have happened in the world. Why? Christ's love has done this. It's the same thing. The problem with homes is Father's love isn't permeating everything because Father isn't very loving. He's not the one who gives himself to die for his home. He wants everyone else to die for him. Oh yeah, they do. I'm amazed at Christian husbands. They want everyone to die for them and worship them and praise them. And I don't know why he didn't bring it up here in Ephesians chapter 6. He left me a confused counselor. He got it all the wrong way round. Everyone knows that our wives should die for us. Honey, there's only one Savior in the church. Jesus. And if you turn around and die for your church would do what we do for our church. Die for it. The trouble is that you die for me, I'll die for you. You die for me, I'll die for you. Okay, when you die, I'll die. When you die, I'll die. Yeah. And it's damnable. We're all watching for each other to give in. Jesus died for us when we were yet sinners. I'm to bring to the table a kind of love that is Calvary love. And when whether my... I'm going to just say this. If your family is crazy today, you raised them crazy. But you had them from the moment they popped their heads out of the womb. You had your wife from the moment she said, I do, and couldn't wait to get to the motel. And what you... my home's pretty screwed up. Well, honey... Imagine if we could say to you, Father, I want to bring something to your attention in heaven. This church is screwed up. And you know something? It's Jesus' fault. Sounds stupid, doesn't it? Sounds absurd. But do you know how many husbands do that? Well, I'll tell you, if I had a bit of cooperation up here. He said Christ died on a cross for them all. I wonder if it's crossed your mind. I wonder if it's crossed your mind, sir, that you're supposed to be the example of love in that home and not your wife. Society's got it all screwed around. Well, the wife's lovely and warm and kind and gooey, sort of like a marshmallow held over a fire and it melts and stuff and it's crispy and sweet and... It doesn't say that anywhere in the book. It says if anyone's going to be slightly gooey, it's you. After all, the thing you like about Jesus best is his unfailing love and his grace that's always there, and his mercy endures to all generations, and he's always for me. Have you seen what a conceited, confused, self-absorbed liar you've become? You're a liar. And you're lying to yourself. And you know something? I got a frightening feeling you expect that same thing from the church. Mm-hmm. You do. Wow. And you've got the similar complaints about the church.